What's up, Kings fans? We've made it. Rock bottom. We're here. Horrific loss. Awful. Terrible. Everything you can sum up. Man. You thought that Kopitar ceremony was going to ignite some energy into this team. It did for 20 minutes. And they just forgot how to play. Forgot their system, forgot their structure. Drew Doughty's calling out players in the locker room. Man, remember all that fun we were having at the beginning of the year? It's all gone. All gone. This team is totally fractured. Man, even Tom McClellan even thinks his job's at risk. I don't blame him. Should be. I'd say it's time for a change. This team clearly isn't adhering to leadership. Messages are getting across. They're not playing as a team. They don't look like a team. They don't act like a team. Man, this is probably the lowest I've felt as a Kings fan. I mean, even just being around the team since I started reporting, I can remember. Even during the bad years, this team wasn't there, they knew they were going to be a bad team. I don't know. You get a 3-1 lead and you lose that two goal lead again. And it's just poor management, just awful, awful management. How many odd man rushes did they even give up after that lead? It felt like they just got the lead and they just thought they could coast. I didn't see them get into that structure, that 1-3-1. I mean, what did we hear from Rob Blake the other day? That defense is going to win games for this team. You give up 3 goals to the Sharks. You give up 5 goals to Buffalo. Another game where you only get 2 5-on-5 goals. This team is it's broken. They're broken. Broken. I'm actually at a loss for words about how bad. I mean, I'm sitting there waiting, and like it was weird. Like after the first like stretch where Buffalo kind of turned it on, I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, here we go again." They haven't given you any confidence, thinking that they'd be able to turn it around, or pull out a game like this. Locker room, man. I mean, it's like the first good game you get from Kopitar in a long time. His energy was good. He was involved all day. Quinn Byfield just continues to play his game. But just stupid, stupid mistakes. Like, what is getting in your head? You guys have 2 wins in your last 14 games. Play with some desperation. Get together as a team. You guys are professionals. You're getting paid to play as a team. Fans are coming out and feel this arena was packed. It's a Thursday night game. I get there as a ceremony for Kopitar, and you want to have fans in the building that appreciate their captain. The arena's packed. It's been packed Fans are coming out. They're spending their money. They're spending the gas money to drive out here. It's not cheap. Below 500 at home. Nothing to cheer about. You get the 3-1 lead and just coast for the rest of the game. And it sucks because I know there are players on this team who are playing up to speed. They are giving it their all on the ice. I appreciate, and this is the first time, like Drew Doughty had to say it. It's about time. We needed to hear that. There are players in the locker room playing for themselves, not playing for the team. We've reached rock bottom. We're here. And to be honest with you, you're going to Colorado on Friday. I don't see them coming out of that. The way Colorado's playing, the way Nathan MacKinnon's MVP caliber is playing right now, the Kings do not look like a playoff team. This does not look anything close to a playoff team, let alone a Stanley Cup contender. All that talk about Stanley Cup contender, I got lost in it. I was lost in the sauce. 11 straight wins on the road. Vibes were at an all-time high. We're breaking records, scoring goals at will. Drew Doughty saying, oh, it just feels like we can score whenever we want. Offense is just completely shot. Defense just totally fell apart tonight. Just bad game management. Play after play after play. That line change on that third goal was just awful. Just what are you thinking at that point if you're on the ice? You call a play and a lot of people want to point the second, I believe it's the second goal on Alex LaFerrière, that turnover at the blue line. That's not on him. And Tom McClellan said so is best. Why are you calling a play to have a righty take a puck at the blue line that high? He's done. He's cooked. He's got the puck on his backhand with a forechecker right on him. He's got nothing to do but try to swat that puck into the zone. He gets caught. Whoever called that play, that's McClellan said it best. That's just a stupidity. Stupidity. Mindless. Not getting your head in the game. Man, after the Sharks game, I was numb. I was just numb to the fact that, oh, pity point. Whatever. But now it's just anger. Frustration's not enough. It's just you got to be angry now if you're a Kings player, or if you're even a Kings fan. Kings fans are angry. If you're on the team, you got to be angry. If you're a coach, you got to be angry. Team has totally lost its way. Oh, let's go to you guys. I'm done. Royalty reigns. I'm gonna try to get to as many of you guys as possible. So
hello,
I apologize if I cut you guys off. Yeah, what's up, man?
Hello?
Yeah, you there? Looks like you're kinda I'm gonna get back to you, Royalty Rain. Seems like you're kinda figuring it out. I'm gonna go to Nick. At LA Kings Nick. What's up, Nick?
Hey Russ, how you doing, buddy?
Oh man, we're going through it, man. We're going through it.
I get it. And you know what? I think personally, if I coached against this team, I could hold them to two goals. They are so easy to defend against. I don't know if I can remember a team ever living on the perimeter more than this team. It is unbelievable. You take a look at some of the top-notch playmakers in this league. You've got McDavid, Draisaitl, Kucherov, MacKinnon. When they attack the ozone, they attack it down the middle. When every player minus one on this team attacks the ozone, it's along the boards. And every time they do, they gain the zone and they either stop, little 5-foot drop pass, and then 85 feet across the ice. And then all of a sudden, the other team just collapses into the home plate. And now it's down low, up high, block shots, back down low, up high, block shots. It's the same shit every goddamn game, and I'm getting so sick of it. Now, the one player who actually attacks the ozone down the middle is everybody's favorite, PLD. He is the only one on this team who consistently takes the puck into the O-zone down the middle of the ice. Now, if you had any smarts as a winger of his, you would go to the net. But every fucking player on this team just goes to the half wall and stops. There is no rush to the net ever, especially off of the rush. There's no play down low. And it is really starting to drive me up the wall. I think PLD gets hate because he's not producing, but like you get the zone down the middle. You've got three guys on you. You still have the puck. You look for a pass and your wingers are stopped behind you. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw it countless times today. PLD is just throwing the puck. I mean, trying to make a pass right in front of the Buffalo net. And there's just really nobody there. And you could just sense, like, if I were him, I'd be getting frustrated too. I mean, he's making plays. Like you said, he's taking pucks. He's taking pucks to the middle. And I mean, I'm not going to say that he's been overwhelmingly good throughout the entire year. There's been times where you want to see more out of Pierre-Luc Dubois. But, I mean, for the most part, you're right. I mean, you're seeing him take the puck up the middle, take the puck into the high danger chances. I mean, Joe Paterino, he tracks all those slot chances. And he's one of the main guys at the top of that list. So and that's the thing is, McClellan even, he thought Pierre Dubois had a good game today. So I don't know who – I don't want to speculate who Drew Doughty's talking about. I don't think it's Dubois. Could be. I could be wrong.
I think I know. I think I know.
I think we could all probably take a guess. It's maybe even Fiala or Kempe. Those are probably the two. Okay.
I'm going to say it, and I swear to God this entire chat's going to fucking blow up. I think it's Trevor Moore.
Interesting. Okay.
So watching the San Jose Shark game, and this one really fucking dropped. Like I lost my mind on this one. There were two plays where first San Jose had the puck in the O zone. The puck came out of the zone. The San Jose Shark defenseman was standing 2 feet outside the blue line. He was the only player back. All four other Sharks were in the zone. Trevor Moore comes up the boards. And all he had to do was just lay a shoulder into this guy. Just lay a shoulder in. Somebody else comes up, grabs the puck, and it's a 2 or 3-on-0. But what does he do? Just a soft little sweep of the puck to hopefully get a breakaway, and off he goes. But he misses. The guy's able to get the puck back into the zone. Everybody circles, and there's more sustained pressure by the Sharks. Second time was the Shark player was the only one in. He had the puck in his feet, and again, Trevor Moore, all he had to do, just lay a shoulder into this guy, but he does a soft little flyby, misses it, guy's able to get out of the zone, come back in, sustain pressure. And again, and it happened again tonight, just another soft Trevor Moore flyby, and actually, I think it was on the fourth goal, where just a sweep of the stick instead of taking a guy. Now, I'll give it to you that one belongs to Fiala for a horrible giveaway. Yeah. But still, like Trevor Moore, you need to play hard when you're in this kind of a slide. Fuck the goals, screw the assists, hit the guy, play hard, be hard to play against. And this Kings team is not hard to play against. They're very easy to play against. Nobody hits on this team except for Byfield. So that's why I think Doughty called Trevor Moore out.
Interesting. That is an outlandish take. I could see some people in this chat are kind of blowing up from that. But Nick, I appreciate you hopping on here. Like I said, I'm just going to get to as many people as I can. But like always, man, thanks for hopping on here. I hope you have a good night, buddy.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Love it. Yeah, that was an interesting one. That kind of caught me off guard. I mean, to be honest with you, if it's Trevor Moore, I would say it's everybody on the team. My guess would be that Doughty's probably calling out either Fiala or Kempe. I thought Kempe was just kind of, I mean, he had a great goal and a nice shot, but then the rest of the game, he kind of just disappeared. Kevin Fiala, we see this from Kevin Fiala all season, right? He gets to this point where just the confidence just gets too much for him, and he just thinks he can do whatever he wants with the puck on the ice, and it just leads to turnover on turnover the other way. And we saw that a couple times today. Let's go to Matt Jester. Matt Jester, what's up, buddy? I got you.
Good. How about you?
Oh, man. We're going through it.
So I've been thinking about this a lot over the past few weeks. I've just really been racking my brain trying to figure out what's going on here. And it just seems like the culture shifted, man. I mean, like Fiala came here, he was good. I think a lot of us detonated with the Velarde PLD trade. It just feels like these guys don't, they're not like a Lombardi type guy, like leadership.
Yeah.
You know, they have gumption. Like when their backs are against the wall, they find, good teams find ways to win, bad teams find ways to lose, you know? So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think they need a clean house, honestly. I think you guys need to call LieWiki back and get the whole thing going again, because this whole thing seems like the good old boys network to me. I mean, you can blame Todd to an extent, but is it really his fault? I mean, these play, I've never, like, I don't know how many years have gone by, but I've never heard one of the core guys make a statement like Dowdy did tonight. Like, never.
Yeah, that was wild. I mean, yeah, you're totally right with that. I mean, as much as everybody wants to blame McClellan, and myself included, I get caught in that. Matt, I'm going to mute you real quick because it sounds like your mic's kind of going, but I'll unmute you to get you back in here. But, yeah, when the team's kind of going through, everybody wants to blame McClellan, and I get lost in that too, which I think this team might need a new voice at the top. But as much as we want to point the finger at McClellan, this is Rob Blake. This is all Rob Blake's fingerprints all over it. You had a locker room like we talked about on the game after the game against San Jose. You had a locker room that was pretty tight, right? You had Alex Iafallo, a guy that Anji Kopitar loved playing with, that was really close with a lot of players on the team. You had Sean Dursey, who was really close with Phil Deneau, who used to bring coffee together, coming to every game. Young player. That's exactly what you want to see. Is you see a young player developing with a vet. That's great. Then you had, and even with Dursey, you had Dursey even getting with Gavrikov doing yoga on the ice. It's heart and soul type players that you're seeing. And where is that heart and soul? Where is that heart and soul? It's gone. It's gone. And it's because Rob Blake has made trades and limited a lot. And the trades that he's made has limited the amount of movement and a lot of capability that he can make in terms of making these changes when the team's going through it because of the salary cap situation. So, I mean, as much as we want to point it out, Tom McClellan, this is a lot to do with what Rob Blake has decided to do with this team. And unfortunately, when you go through this slide and you're not able to make those changes, make those trades, call up other players because the salary cap's up against it, it's the general manager that we have to talk about. Oh, Matt, I think I removed you. Sorry. I'm sorry. If you want to speak again, go ahead and request. I'll get you right back on here. But I'm going to go to the next person. Let's go to... Like I said, I'm going to try to call on as many people I haven't called on before. Carter Scores. I might have called you before, but Carter, I love you, man. What do you got, buddy?
I really want to dunk on this team so hard, man, but I just want to talk about Brent Clark. I don't want to hear anybody ever say that he needs to learn anything in the AHL anymore. Stop taking him out of the lineup. He's an NHL defenseman, and the last two games has proven it, regardless of how bad this team has played. And, yeah, if he's our number one defenseman of the future, I'm really excited for him. And he knows what he's doing out there. And there's no way he should ever come out of the lineup for the rest of the season.
I love it. I love that you're calling out and being positive in here. We probably need that. But, yeah, this kid is definitely not lacking any confidence, right? I mean, we saw him. Attempted a lacrosse goal, maybe at a time that it wasn't really needed, but fuck it, right?
Right.
This team's desperate for goals, like, why not at this point? So it's good to see, like, I mean, the thing that's so, like, that's terrible, this stretch has been awful for the entire team, but I guess I guess one of the bright spots of this slide right now is you're seeing the young players step in and play pretty well. I mean, Brent Clark has come in and made a little bit of an impact, but Quinton Byfield, I think, has been the MVP of this team during this entire slide. Just a guy that continues to be consistent. And, like, what does that mean for this team right now? When you have a player 21 years old, he's been called a bust for the last 2 years, and he's in the middle of his breakout. And, yeah, the entire team is going through right now, but Quinton Byfield is sticking to his game, bringing the energy every night. And, I mean, you have to be happy about that if you're a Kings fan, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Byfield and Clark, the future definitely looks good. But I'm in agreement with a couple other people that said we need a clean house. You can blame Todd a lot, but at the end of the day, he's got the roster that was put with him from Blake. You can only do so much for that. And being in cap cap jail and all that stuff. Yeah, so it's pretty much all I wanted to say. But yeah, thank you for having me on, man.
Yeah, appreciate you hopping on here, buddy. Let's keep it rolling. Let's go to Luke Stubbs. Luke, what's up, man?
Yo, how's it going?
Oh, it's going.
I had some thoughts. Maybe we, I mean, after hearing from Todd today on the press conference, I think it was good to hear, you know, he took accountability.
I
wonder if we cleaned house on some of the assistant coaches, you know, started from there. Maybe make a small little splash, get the guys going a little bit. But I don't know, Clark looked good, like some guys are saying, but I think Todd might be the guy, but I think we got to make a little change here and there.
That's the thing that sucks, right? Is like, I mean, if you're a coach, like, what other buttons can you push? And I question a lot of his lineup changes. I mean, for some godforsaken reason, they want to continue taking Jordan Spence out of the lineup when he's probably been one of the more consistent young players on this team throughout the entire year. I guess Byfield included as well.
For sure.
But yeah, but when you're a coach like McClellan, you just see that stupidity. And I'm glad he used that word, stupidity.
Yeah.
That's what we all saw tonight. It's just stupid mistake after stupid mistake. It's like, what are you supposed to do if you're a coach? I mean, I guess you maybe bench a player or two. That's probably what I would love to see. I'd love to see him start utilizing a little bit more of his, like, utilize your timeout when you actually have it.
For sure.
Give yourself a little bit more leeway when things are slipping away. But I mean, for the most part though, like, there's only so much he can do, and he's not a rah-rah guy. He's not going to be yelling at the guys, but I mean, this team kind of needs it right now.
I agree.
I think Drew Doughty was the guy at this point, and he said what needed to be said.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be cool to see some more leadership out of Phil Deneau. I think I think he's a pretty quiet dude in the locker room. Just based off like what you hear from Todd, you know, he just says 8-11. You don't hear a lot of 24.
I think Deneau flies under the radar with his leadership. Like I said, it came to the forefront a little bit more last year because of his kind of connection with Jersey. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Deneau's a guy who's always going to leave it all in the ice. So as far as like, I think he's kind of like maybe like a Kopitar, where he's not necessarily that rah-rah guy either. But you kind of just see that leadership kind of portrayed on the ice. And, hey, but, I mean, at this point, like, how far can that take you, right? Like, I think this team needs a little bit more of, like, get in your face and start, like, whipping some ass, right? And I think Doughty's the type of guy who's going to do that. And he said it best himself, too. He's like, I mean, we all know how Drew Doughty is and how vocal he is as a leader and a player on the ice. And he said himself, it's like he can only go so far when he's constantly yelling, constantly talking. Like, I'm sure that can get annoying if you're a guy, but I mean, that's what people need to hear at this point. So it needs to come from everybody. It needs to be a full team buy-in. It can't just be the leaders that need to buy in. I mean, there's plenty of leaders on this team. Adrian Kempe has been here long enough. Matt Roy has been here long enough. You have players that are on this team that have gone through it already and been through some of this rebuild. And now you're entering contender status. You have to realize like what you're losing right now. You're losing an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. It doesn't come very often in anybody's lifetime, let alone like an NHL player when you get that chance. So you're on a good team, and if you're not buying into the structure and the team mentality, then if I'm Rob Blake, you got to go at this point. Or if I'm McClellan, definitely, you got to sit. So that's kind of – I mean, so as far as the lack of that rah-rah leadership, I think it just needs to be from everybody on this team, not just one or two guys or the guys wearing the A's or the C.
Yeah, I think you want to see a guy like Trevor Lewis step up a little bit. You know, he's won two cups. He's been through the Stanley Cup. You know, I think it'd be cool to see him get the guys going a little down there too.
Yeah, yeah. Both him, who else? I mean, Trevor Moore is kind of entering that status. Gavrikov, he's been with the team a little over a year now.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's got to be everybody. Mikey Anderson too. So, I mean, it's hard to single one or two guys out. I don't think it's necessarily like to speculate on who Drew Doughty's calling out. I didn't think it was Trevor Moore. I don't think it's Trevor Moore. I think he's more or less calling out a player, possibly like Fiala or Kempe, just from what I saw tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
I could be totally wrong, but just kind of from what I've seen, and that kind of fits the mold of Fiala or Kempe.
For sure. Well, appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, appreciate you, buddy. Have a good one.
You too.
Let's keep it rolling to, oh man, there's so many of you. I love it. Let's go to Ty. Ty, what's up, man? Oh, it looks like you're connecting. I'm going to keep it going to, someone messaged me. Let's go to Brandon. Ty, I see you're connecting.
Hello.
So... Oh, Ty, what's up, man? Brandon, I'll get to you next after Ty, if that's cool.
Yeah, I'm actually a writer from Winnipeg. So I'm kind of, I like the Kings as well. And it's been kind of frustrating seeing what's kind of happening to your team. And I'm kind of wondering about, I guess, Dubois and how he's looked in LA. I've seen some games and it's, I don't know if that's maybe getting on teammates' nerves and stuff. I know I've heard some stuff in the chat that he's been doing some good stuff down the center of the ice, but I'm seeing a lot of kind of what I saw in Winnipeg from him. And I think it's kind of welcome wore off with teammates here in town. So I'm wondering how is that going in LA? Cause, and the kind of the loss of, Velarde and Iafallo, you know, they're two guys that have been doing really good once they got, you know, over here to Winnipeg.
Yeah. I mean, we heard the stories, right? I mean, coming out of Winnipeg, coming out of Columbus, and we see those splashes of that same kind of storyline, that nonchalance, the laziness. It's there a bit, but I think, I mean, to be honest with you, I think overall he's been okay. I don't think he's been great. I don't think he's been too bad. We're at the point where he's been like losing games for this team. I think, I mean, a lot of people want to point the finger at him and McClellan with that quote that he had after the game last time, but this team, they're not losing games because of PL Dubois is not performing or producing. They're losing these games because it's the entire team that's going through it right now. So, yeah, like PL Dubois is being paid as to be an impact player, like McClellan said. But at this point, like, he even scored today. So I maybe it was a little bit of a softie that Levi gave up. But even then, I think we probably could see a little bit more out of him. But to pin a lot of the blame over what's been going on with this team of late, I think that's a little too much.
For sure, yeah. You can't obviously blame one player or really get upset at one player when it's the whole team's performance. But I'm kind of wondering now if LA tries to do a pivot similar to what Edmonton did when they kind of hit rock bottom earlier in the season, because, you know, a coaching change did turn things around for that team, and it's been known to give teams a boost. And just new ideas, new ways of thinking can go a long way. So I don't... I do like Todd McCullough, but I think that, you know, you might see a change around the All-Star break for sure with the new coach. I don't know. Like, it sounds like he even agrees that he has a little bit of a, you know, job security issues right now.
No, 100%. I mean, that's the part of the business, right? Results-based business. And I don't know which coach said it, but it's like you can't trade the entire team. And unfortunately, in this business, when we see a team go through it, like we've seen a couple times throughout teams in the NHL, they make the change of head coach. And sometimes, like you just said too, like you just need a new voice in the locker room because the message isn't getting across. And I mean, personally, I think we've reached that point. I think we've reached the point where, for some reason, I love McClellan as a coach. I think he does a great job in terms of really kind of being transparent and talking about not like, just kind of to us, the media, and to the fans about what's really going on with this team. I mean, if you really want to understand what's going on with the Kings, I mean, just watch any of one of McClellan's availabilities. He'll tell you straight up. He's not going to beat around the bush. He's going to paint the picture out how what he's seeing and tell the media and tell the fans. So that's the unfortunate part is when you're going through a slide like this, you have 2 wins in 14 games.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it changes.
For sure. And one more point is just on goaltending with earlier in the season, Cam Talbot was kind of putting, you know, the team on his back, not putting the team on his back, but putting up incredible numbers and becoming an all-star and all these things. Yeah. And then, you know, his play, like his numbers have dipped quite a bit to the point where you have David Riddick, who kind of wasn't very good in Winnipeg last year. and, you know, Copley as well, what like wasn't making saves early in the year. Like Talbot really kind of went on quite the run, and I'm kind of wondering how much the Talbot kind of mask, you know, LA's problems, you know, earlier in the season, and that's kind of now catching up with them now that he's not putting up like Vezina numbers as we get into kind of the, you know, the dog days of the season.
Well, I thought Talbot was playing really well. I think his numbers were quite inflated by the team's overall defense. This team, I mean, analytically, they were probably one of the best teams, and I think probably even still could be one of the best teams in terms of expected goals against during 5-on-5 play. So when you're able to limit a lot of the high danger chances that the Kings do, that's going to help the goaltenders see a lot of pucks and see a lot of those outside chances. But I'm starting to wonder if maybe this kind of lack of consistent play from Talbot has maybe hurt him a little bit, because today this was his worst game of the season. Like, it wasn't even close. Some of the goals, as much as you want to say Paterka was a real nice shot, I don't know. I feel like that's something he could have had. I mean, Cousins' shot going up the middle in the high slot, that's definitely something I felt like he should have had. So, like, I just wonder if maybe that lack of inconsistent starts when he was just pretty much starting every game for the team has now hurt him. Because now it's gotten to the point where if Riddick doesn't pull through and Cam Talbot doesn't figure it out, man, this team is in a world of hurt.
For sure. And all of the goaltending has been a big thing in LA the last couple of years, and trying to find that good, you know, that solid, you know, number one goaltender that can kind of carry you guys through, you know, the season and the playoffs. And obviously, you know, whoever, like, past goalies, Corpusalo, haven't been the answer. So I really hope that, you know, I don't think it's Tam Calvert either in the long term, obviously with his age, but I really hope, you know, LA can come up with, you know, a top goaltender. There's not a ton of them in the league, but, you know, if you can nab one, it kind of can mask, you know, a lot of your team's problems, as, you know, Hellebuck's done here in Winnipeg for many years.
Yeah, that'll be something to watch, to see what Rob Blake does over the summer, if Blake's still around over the summer after the season. But Ty, I appreciate you hopping on.
Yeah, thanks again. Yeah, have a great night, guys, and enjoy the spaces here.
Thanks, man. Let's go back. Brandon, I think you're still a speaker.
Yeah, hey, Russ, I'm here.
What's up, Brandon? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'd ask you how you're going, but I mean, I think it's kind of obvious how we're all going.
Yeah, I think it's, we're all going through it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you said at the start was so true, man. Like, the tickets are expensive, the parking's expensive, the traffic sucks. I don't live close to the rink, like, the ride home sucks, and, like, this shit ruins my mood like no other. Like, this team losing just, especially like that, just ruins everything. Like, the mood is so down.
No, 100%. I think this, and I don't ever really, I rarely leave my seat at the end of the game. I left with like a minute left to go down to the locker room and get ready for the post game, because I just knew that there's no way they're going to come back in this. You don't see any fight. The fans, this was the loudest I've heard boos from the fans throughout this entire season, because that third period was just awful. I'm sitting next to a guy who's actually covering for another writer who's not too familiar with the team. And he looked at me and he's like, man, they look just awful. And I'm like, yeah, this is the worst performance I've seen from this team in a long time. So to have that kind of performance in front of the fans that are spending all that money, like you just mentioned, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. I'd be absolutely pissed.
Yeah. I mean, the fifth goal, this team, right now, this team's not coming back. Like 5-3, this team's not coming back at that point. Like, there's zero energy. There's no effort. Like, Fiala played terrible tonight, looked absolutely awful, every bit, like all the turnovers, everything looked terrible.
Yeah, by far his worst game. I mean, that's, like I said, I think that's might have been one of the players that Doughty's calling out. He's not going to mention by name, but we're speculating here, but I think we can all guess that could be one.
Yeah, him or Kempe, yeah. I think what you were saying was right. I don't know about more, but yeah, probably one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't understand. The vibes are so down. Like, we need another Australia trip or something, because the vibes were so high at the start. I don't understand. Like, what's the pivot? I don't understand how we pivoted hard.
You think about, like, the I just, like, all the fun that we were having when Quentin Byfield and Adrian Kempe are doing the FIFA celebration. It's like, yeah, we were on fucking cloud nine at that point, and now we're just living and we're walking through the gates of hell right now. It's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this shit ruins my mood like no other thing can. Like, it just goes from 0 to 100 to 0 super quick. Like, I don't get it, and just I don't see where this team could go from here. I mean, you fire the coach, and Victor Arvidsson comes back, but like, he's not the saving grace. He's not going to be scoring 10 goals a game. Like, where do we go? You know.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just confidence is shaken. It's probably at an all-time low for this team.
Yeah.
It's rough, man. But, Brandon, I appreciate you hopping on here, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. Have a good night.
You too. Let's go to PV. All right, I see you with all the emojis, bro. Like, what do you got? What do you got? You want the speaker, you want the mic, let's see what you got, man.
Oh, shoot, hey. Yeah, no, I was just agreeing with him. I was putting the hundreds up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But yeah, all right. That took me by surprise. I think I lagged a little bit. Okay. Sorry. No, you're good. It's all right. I enjoy this. Well, like I said, last spaces, I was at this game, and I was sitting next to the Royal Army, waving the flags and everything, and
okay.
The energy died in the stadium after that fifth mm-hmm. goal. Like, oh my God, it was just, I love, Mikey and stuff, but he's like, let's get some noise, Kings fans, and everyone's like, it was just,
yeah, they do the fight, or you got a party, Beastie Boys.
That was sad. That was sad. Yeah. And I know they do it every game.
And it sucks because Mikey, they do.
They do. They do. They do. But when you lose like that, it's so disappointing. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But again, like you said, Talbot needed to make some saves, and he did. But like that fifth goal was really the dagger. I don't think anyone was in front of him from my recollection, but
no, that's, I think he'd probably tell you that he should have that one. I think he should have as well.
And you can go on and on. I remember there was this one play, I think it was in the third period, where Moore's skating up the ice and he just gets stripped of the puck, and it looked almost too easy. And I know I'm not being paid $multi-million a year to play pro hockey, but it just seemed like the energy from the crowd wasn't there as a result of the energy on the ice not being there.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, after the first period, I felt like even toward the end of the first period, like when they had the 3-1 lead, that momentum didn't really carry on. You didn't see them really try to go all out for that fourth goal. It just felt like they just settled and then lost their whole game when Buffalo just turned it on them.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean that's the exact like type of thing that everyone was feeling. You're in the bathroom line after the game and babies are crying. Like that sums it up. I mean,
and
the dad's like, it's okay. Like it's going to be fine. And the kids are crying. And that's how you know that the team's in deep shit.
No, man. Yeah. They're in it. They're in the deep shit right now. That's for sure.
Yeah. Man, I'm just trying to light the mood, but seriously, I mean, I don't, like you say, like you've been saying, and honestly, what my dad's been saying, it's not Todd's fault completely. It is what he's been given. You can only do so much when your depth has been traded. You can only do so much when you're cap strapped. Unless you want to trade a really big name, a core piece to this roster, the ones that are making the big money. You can't really do much, right?
Yep.
If we'd make any moves, they're likely going to be some depth pieces that are they really going to move the needle, right? Like Dowdy said, it has to come from inside the room. It really does. And if Blake, which I don't think he does feel this way based on his recent comments, thinks that the way to move the needle is to fire the coach, then he's going to do that. But I don't see that happening.
It'd be a surprise after what we heard from Blake the other day, but it's gotten to Blake. Like, what was his quote? He said he's waiting for the leadership to pull them out of this. And I don't know if he kind of clarified saying it's the players and management. And how many games ago was that? 3-4 games ago? And they haven't pulled themselves out of it. And you can't continue. We're not going to hear from Blake again until probably after the deadline, which is not that, the March 9th? I could be wrong. But that's still a ways away. We're still a ways away from that. And if you're not going to come out and get in front of it and talk about, like, you can't continue to lean on that voice, that message that you had a couple like last week or so, there's got to be a change. You can't continue to have this, because if this continues and you haven't made a big change, I won't start blaming fans if they don't want to come to the building anymore at this point.
For sure. And, I've been to 6 games this year, I think. One in Anaheim, And that's the one we won. And then we was at the 27th game when we beat the Sharks, and the rest have just been tough watches. And and yeah, I won't lie. It's starting to be like, should I buy these tickets? Because I don't know if we're going to win at home, you know.
Yep.
you got to put out a product that people are going to want to see at the ice. And the boos were loud at the
loud.
They loud. Were loud.
Yeah.
I don't, could you hear that from, I know you said you left early. Could you hear that from oh, yeah. back room?
Deservedly so. Yeah. I walk down the hallway to go from my seat to the elevator, and it's kind of back further a little bit. And yeah, I could clearly hear the boos. I heard the horn go off, and just fans. Yeah, they deserved it. So I don't blame them.
They were loud.
PB, yeah. I appreciate you hopping on here, buddy. I'm going to get to the next person.
Yeah, please do. You have a good night.
Thanks, man. Have a good one. Let's go to Royalty Reigns. He said his mic is working. Where are you at? There you are. All right. Here you go, Royalty Reigns. Your speaker. Is your mic working? I can hear it.
There you go. Hey, sorry about that. I was just leaving work. I actually wasn't expecting to be like one of the first speakers, so I do apologize about that.
You're good,
yeah.
man.
What's going on? Well, the first thing I want to say is, like, it was a great first period. We scored 255 into the first. When was the last time, honestly, I can remember, we jumped out, had great pace, and we scored first. And then when they responded, we responded back. And then, you know, of all the people, like, people have been mixed emotions about with PLD, he ends up scoring. It was probably the best period of hockey I think I have seen in the past, like, 14 games. And then as what Drew Dye said, oh, they think it's a cookie. And we end up blowing it. And I don't know if, like, the Kings are just overlooking these two opponents because they're at the bottom of the barrel. I know that's a factor in every professional sport. But how can you not close out and finish the game? And I watched some of it between my breaks and on lunch. Where's the physicality? Like, it seems like I understand we have to score goals if we want to win, but if you're not taking that man to create chances, nothing's going to happen. And I get, like, we don't always have, like, the big physical guys, but these guys are professionally trained to take hits and make hits. And it feels like I'm seeing England and Byfield being the physical ones a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, is, like I think Dowdy kind of mentioned that, too, is people are thinking too much about their points, and that was part of the thing he was mentioning is, like, they're not checking hard enough or even just kind of playing the man or sticking to the structure, playing smart. They're worried about those points. And like you said, like, yeah, if you're not going to score, at least show a little bit of physicality, at least show a little bit of intensity. And the fact that they're – might be playing down to these opponents, I sure as fuck hope not they're not doing that. Like, because when you have two wins in the last, what, 11 games coming in these last couple games, and you're playing down and you're thinking about playing down to the San Jose Sharks or Buffalo Sabres, look what's going to happen. Those teams will take advantage of it right away. And they have these last two games.
Another topic, yeah, with goaltending, like, honestly, Rick has been, he's been pretty good, I'm going to say. Over the past few games. But I'm going to say this. Ever since Cam Talbot, you know, he's playing, like, out of his mind. And when he got that all-star nod, he's really like, all right, I'm about to head out. He's literally like that SpongeBob meme. He has not been the same since he got that nod. He's had some, like, yeah, he's made some good saves, but it's kind of been a little lackluster. And on that fifth goal, that wrist shot from the blue line, there's no one in front of him. I'm like, what was that? I know some goals you can't always stop, deflections or whatever, but just a wrist shot from the blue line, like, that should just be like a pop fly, and he just lets it go in. And then I remember a few speakers ago, you were talking about how, like, with all these trades you make, like, you know, Durzi and Iafallo and Vlardy, one of the things I think is, like, what we maybe didn't see is, like, they gelled together. They were, like, unison, one team. So even if they weren't always producing or they weren't always winning, that team was together. And like you said, like, you know, they did yoga on the ice. They Durzi brought coffee. Like, it was the little things that brings the team together. And once you take that away, yeah, what's left? And another thing you can't teach is passion. But it's just this team, you know, like, I'm going to say, ever since that Islanders game that we lost to, it feels like
downhill.
We've been exposed because, mm-hmm. yeah, I understand it's at the end of a long road trip. You can't win them all. But ever since we came back home, it's like we're figured out, but we're not changing anything. Toss is throwing our lines in the blender. I understand there's only so much you can do, but it feels like, I don't know if you know this YouTuber called Your Name Tree. He makes shit posting videos all the time. And he made one about us, about how we just go on the ice, collect our blood paychecks, and walk off. I'm not going to lie. Ever since the Islanders game, it just feels like they're skating out there to do enough to get their paycheck. Or at least a lot of the top guys are. Because, what's it called? Remember how you told me that, like, those Dowdy bombs that are going in? We shouldn't have to, like, be a last resort to that.
Yeah.
It just feels like...
I appreciate you, but I mean, like I said, I'm going to try to get to as many people, so I'm going to cut some people off. But I love you hopping on here, but I totally understand everything you're saying. But I don't know if they're just, like, collecting a paycheck, but it certainly seems that way, right? Ever since that Islanders game, I feel like that's the game that everybody's pointing to, is that Anders Lee game, so... I was a big fan of that PLD trade. I think maybe we're kind of, or myself, I'm just going to point to myself, is maybe I kind of overlooked, is when you have a team that's a cohesive and that has gone through a lot of the frustrations and I guess disappointment of losing to the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, you would think that maybe that team would maybe come together and get closer and more unified and say, okay, well, We're building something here, and yeah, it's been rough the last couple of years, but we know we can get through this, and maybe we kind of lost that a little bit. I think the team is better on the ice what they're playing like lately, and yes. I think the team has been better in terms of talent than they are the last few years.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're totally right. I feel like they're missing a little bit of that unification, that cohesiveness that we saw last few years. But
quick Rosie, thing, I appreciate. Oh. I want to say, one thing I am noticing, despite the slide, our Kings fans are showing up more. It looks like we're selling out more during the week than I saw last season, even when we were winning more. And like other speakers said, we're not putting out a good product, but even with the expensive tickets and the bad weather, we're showing up. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you for taking me again. And I hope the rest of your space goes well.
I appreciate it, buddy. You have a good night.
You too.
That's the thing, man. I mean, Kings fans are we're the most passionate out there. We're never gonna waver. We're what's that like Shia LaBeouf meme where it's like this? We're in this now. Like we're part of this. Like this is us. We're all here. We're all part of this. I saw a couple people that I hadn't seen before, but Colin. Call. What's up, buddy? What do you got in your mind?
Hey, Russ. So
I know you're gonna bring some heat. So lay it on me.
No, I'm just numb.
Okay. That's how I was after the Sharks game.
I've just gone into this stage where I just like pre-numb myself. Like I've been prepared for this since beginning of December. Like I felt like, and some people on King's Twitter saw the signs where things were falling apart. Like, I just felt like I never saw them beat a good team the entire beginning of the season. Like, they lost to Boston early on. They lost to Vegas. They lost to New York in convincing fashion. They lost to the Islanders, who were even a decent team. Like, all those streaks were all those, you know, all the bottom-feeding Canadian teams in November and December, who, and then we were just, like, all focused on the number of the winning streak. At the beginning with the road trip, that no one cared that we were just not winning against those top 5-6 teams in the league. We lost to the Jets. Like, when Velarde came back, we lost to Edmonton the first time we met them. Like, even though Edmonton back then still was pretty far away from us, we knew Edmonton was going to be back. anyone who was paying attention knew Edmonton was going to be back because they looked at analytics and saw how much they were they were underperforming their stats. So it's just it's frustrating when you're just you see it coming and you try to mention things about the Kings showing signs. And people are like, you know, like, oh my God, you need to appreciate how good they're doing. But that just never meant anything to me because I don't care what they do until it's game 83. Like, nothing they do in the regular season matters to me anymore. Because I, in my entire time as a fan for the last decade, I have not seen them win a round. So I do not care what they do during the regular season. I have never cared in the last 5 years what they do in the regular season.
Well, we should start caring about what they do in the regular season now.
I mean, but it's just like, it just further confirms, like, oh, they're not going to win a round, so I'll see you next year. Like, if I think they're going to win a round, then I'll get excited again. But if they're not, if they're going to have to fight to make the playoffs, like, why am I getting my hopes up to win a round? Like, if...
I mean, Kings fans have gone through this before. Back in 2012, they fought tooth and nail just to become a playoff team, and we saw what happened there. I mean, but at this point, like, if you're struggling, if this team is struggling like they're struggling right now just to clinch a playoff spot, like, I'll push back a little bit because I thought early in the season, like, yeah, sure, they weren't beating a lot of the good teams, but even when they were beating the bad teams, they were really beating those bad teams. And a lot of the analytics, like, even when they were losing those good teams, I thought they were still really involved in those games. But now it's, like, gotten to the point where, like, they're not even beating bad teams right now. So, I mean, yeah, you could say that at the beginning of the part, but I agree with your assessment saying that at the middle of December is when we really started to see this turnaround because I feel like that's when it really started.
I agree with what you're saying. Like, obviously, I don't want to say that we were a bad team when we were barely losing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want it to be misconstrued that I ever thought the Kings are a bad team. I still don't think they're a bad team. I think they are underperforming what they should be. Like, their shooting percentage is way under. Like, they're still getting good analytics on their chances. It's just, obviously, I don't believe they're a bad team. Like, there's something mental going on. It's just, but it's so hard to just say that I am like, oh, I just want them mentally to be better. Because I'm not looking to progress towards something into next season. Like, it just feels like I'm a fan of the 2017 Capitals, where we're just stuck in this rut of being average.
Yeah.
And it's...
it definitely looks like an average team right
now. It just feels like
it's
I'm...
just kind of out there.
It's just waiting that I'm just like... I was like, oh, I've already seen them make the playoffs. Like, ever since 2022, like, that season, where like, oh my God, the Kings are back in the playoffs. I haven't been excited for regular season results since that season, because once they make it, I was like, oh, okay, now I want them to win a round. And I'm just like, if I see them fall short of where they were last season, I just find it really hard to want to, like, nitpick all these issues. I'm just like, I just need them to show me that they want to be better than making the playoffs. Because they say they want to beat the round and be a cup contender, but I don't see the effort of a team that wants to be better. And I feel really bad. Like, I've been wrong about so many things the last year. Like, I feel so wrong about how I treated Dursey over the years. He brought, you know, intangible aspect to the team that I didn't appreciate enough.
Yeah.
That you were saying, like, the vibes of Dursey. He was just there every game making everybody smile. And it just feels like Dubois, even though he's not hurting the team with his play, he's obviously not playing up to par, and he's not hurting the team with his play. But it feels like it just disturbed that bond they had of losing to the Oilers. Like, Gabe Vilardi and Dursey and Iafallo all have that bond of where, like, we need to get past the Oilers. And once you take them out, it feels like, oh, we're a new team that's not building off of last season. It feels like they took this lateral shift that they weren't prepared for, where the vibe of the team is just different.
And they became, now they have to go through, experience that kind of struggle again, all together again.
Yeah, like a brand new. It feels like they're starting over in 2021 again, like that beginning of that season. It feels like the Dubois was a lateral shift, and they're like, oh, now we're not this gritty, grinding team anymore. We're this, you know, team that's looking at all these flashy players we have all of a sudden. And they haven't been a team with this many, you know, star-studded names in a while, where they just have these names that don't mean anything without points. But they used to be the team that had all these, you know, misfits that would just bond together to make a good team. And now it's like they don't know how to deal with having skilled players, and they don't know how to place them. And that's like a coaching thing. And Todd got used to playing with gritty grinders, and this team isn't gritty grinders. They're skillful, and they need to learn how to combine the two in a way that's good and helpful, and they haven't figured it out. And that's just...
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is if you want to have a structure in place and have these players play to their system, I mean, you have to make sure you're getting that message across. And right now, we're not seeing that message get across because we're seeing players just play outside their norm. And yeah, maybe it's more the skilled players that like to like do whatever they want. And I've kind of been one that's always like, yeah, let the skilled players do what they do. Like, let Brent Clark be Brent Clark. Let Kevin Fiala be Kevin Fiala. That's great. That's what you brought them in to do. That's what you brought them in here to do. But when you're losing games and you're kind of preaching structure, defense, defense, and it's that message isn't going to get across 100% of the time to those players. So you have to figure out a way to maybe send out, like, send a different message. I don't know, like, do something different with these players, or it's just you got to start benching or even start healthy scratching some guys. Because at this point, if you're going to continue this slide and you're not going to make any drastic changes or make any drastic moves, then it's going to continue. It's going to continue like this.
Like, this team went from, you know, the identity of Todd tried to make everyone into an Iafallo. Like, every new player is like, okay, you're going to look at Iafallo, you're going to be him. And that worked, but they got the wall they hit was the more skillful Oilers. So what they did is like, oh, let's try to be the Oilers and try to go top heavy with the Dubois, the big name, the 60-point scorer who's at his career peak. It's like, oh my God, we got to get all this skill to match the Oilers because that's who we need to beat. And then they lost. It's like, oh, but you forgot we still need some Iafallos. And they all went the Dubois Fiala route instead of the Iafallo, you know, like a Iafallo Lizotte route where they lost, you know, they lost that gritty identity. And it's, I hate to be the, you know, the boomer, you know, grit, you know, defenseman champion sort of guy, but it's just, they do need a little bit of it and they don't have any of it. And it's just, it's gone.
Yeah, I think they have a little bit of it. I mean, you look at, like, Kopitar is obviously still here. Deneau's that 200-foot player. Trevor Moore, I feel like, could be a pretty solid 200-foot player. And, I mean, even on defense, too. I mean, you have, like, Brant Clark and Jordan Spence are really the only flashy kind of players that you have on defense. They're going to bring some actual skill. I mean, Mikey Anderson, Gavrikov, Matt Roy, Andreas Englund, I mean, even maybe Doughty. They don't scream flashy type of defense. They're not the Cale Makars or the Rasmus Dahlins of the world. I mean, those are few and far between. But even then, so, like, you have those players that are going to play tough defensively. And that's what we heard from Rob Blake, that, like, they're going to win games by playing good defense. And when that isn't getting done, and that it's going to – the holes are going to start be more a little bit more glaring in that aspect. But, Colin, like always, buddy, I appreciate you hopping on here, man.
All right. See ya. Thanks.
See ya. Have a good one. Let's go to Brian. Brian Flores. What's up, Brian Flores? How you doing, buddy?
Brother, I was kind of delayed. Dude, I don't know why my spaces was like 3 minutes behind. Colin was still talking on my end. Like, holy.
It's all good. We got you now.
Yeah, thanks, Elon. No problem. As good as pretty much anybody else, I'm guessing right now. I just kind of wanted to, I don't know, come to bat for the Kings just a little bit, especially after that last.
I think we need that.
After that last speaker, like, I love Colin, man. Like, he's a really good insight, but I feel like there's a couple of things that I kind of disagreed with him on, and that's one, the early warning signs he was talking about, how the Kings never beat, you know, a good team. I kind of beg to differ. I mean, remember, we beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. They also beat the Vegas Golden Knights 4-1 at one point. I know it seems like years ago, but that was just a couple months ago. But
I think there's an argument to be made both sides there. I understand where Colin's coming from because there were a few games at the beginning of the season. I think it was more or less the Kings are kind of just figuring out their ways. I mean, what was the Hurricanes, the Avalanche, the Bruins. There were some teams there that they probably should have, the games that they should have won against those good teams. But I think there were other games where they did beat some good teams. But I definitely see the argument both sides.
Yeah, and I definitely see where Colin was coming from, especially when it came to the one that I remember was the shootout loss against Vegas. But even then, it was a spirited battle.
Yeah.
I feel like the thing that Colin was kind of alluding to, and I think pretty much it's an underlying factor here with all of the Kings right now, especially when it comes to like the common denominator we have between like the boomer fans and the new age fans, is that the grit that we're looking for is the kind of fight. And I feel like you coined it best. Once they scored the fifth goal, it was done. Like, there was no fight left in this team. And I feel like that's the main thing. That's the problem. All right. So I'm going to go back, and this is me, like, you know, taking a break from the Rob Blake, you know, hate train that I definitely do believe he deserves. Just taking a look at Todd McClellan and his history. So, you know, before I was a Kings fan, I was a Sharks fan. So I got to see Todd McClellan a lot more, you know, as a Sharks fan. Way back
came to the good side.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my dad gave me an ultimatum: either move out as a 9-year-old or become a Kings fan. I'm kidding.
Smart.
Todd McClellan, especially back then, he had a lot of good pieces to work with. Back then, he had Devin Setoguchi, he had Joe Pavelski, Ryan Clough, all that, all those strikers. And, you know, not to mention Marlo, Thornton, all the guys that we know and hate as Kings fans. The thing is that he had all these guys cemented. And there's a reason why Todd McClellan won a President's Trophy as well as numerous division titles. It's because of the smothering style of hockey he forces his team to play. Unfortunately, that's not the way the Kings are built right now. They're built completely different than what Todd McClellan's used to coaching. And the thing is with Todd, right, he had it. He found the median in the beginning of the season. That's what we were seeing. That was the success. But the thing is, once Todd has a game, and I like going all the way back to 2009, once he has that one game that gets him to tuck his tail between his legs, he cannot for the life of him outcoach himself. He cannot get himself out of that rut. And I feel like we're seeing history repeat itself again here with the Kings. So my thing is, either he needs to get a talking to, I know this is going to sound, you know, asinine, but he needs to have the mental change, the shakeup, if you will, or the Kings need to find someone who will. And I feel like right now, the Kings, like you said, odds are we do not move on from Todd McClellan, at least for the rest of this year. We're going to have to wait till the off season. I do not see a midseason firing, although I wouldn't be surprised, because this is kind of reminding me of 2012 a little bit, when the Kings were on their like horrific losing streak. But just digressing from that, I feel like Todd just needs to find a way to get himself out of that funk and get out of his own way. He has the key. He has the tools. Like, I know that the chemistry was messed with a little bit, and I appreciate that, especially, you know, coming from the junior hockey world. Chemistry is real. Anybody who thinks that it doesn't exist, you need to be involved in the locker room to see it does exist. But the thing is that it's Todd's job with these group of guys to help form that chemistry and to keep that chemistry going. Again, he found it in the beginning of the season, but somewhere along the way he lost it, and he just can't regain it again.
He's always been a coach that doesn't – I mean, it seems like – I haven't really followed McClellan too much of his career, but it seems like he's always been a coach who kind of wants the players to kind of play themselves out of the whatever rut that they're in. And he's not one to make any huge adjustments. And we've seen that, I mean, a few times during his tenure here, right? And even – I mean, it's been more specifically this season. And he mentioned that he got to the point where, I just want to see the players play themselves out of it. So he was the first person to say that. But at this point, like, I mean, man, like some of the lineups, some of the changes and some of the like decision-making from him, him, he has to look himself in the mirror and say, like, what else can I do? And I would think, like, yeah, maybe shake some things up, bench some players if they're not performing well, or if they're getting, you're not getting the most out of them. Like I would have loved to see, like, if you really want to send a message to Dubois, don't send it to him after the game. Bench him. Yeah. And I'm not even going to say it's because of Dubois, like, I'm going to single out Dubois, but I'm just saying everybody, like, at this point, like, the fourth line is just a complete black hole. You're getting nothing from those players, anything offensively. And the constant decision making to take Jordan Spence out of the lineup. I mentioned, like, trade speculation, because that's the only real logical explanation I can say at that point, because everything points to Jordan Spence being one of the best defenders on this team. And for some reason, they want to keep taking him out for Brant Clark, which I get. You want to develop Brant Clark, but he should not be the one that's taking that fall.
Yeah, he can't be the savior of the franchise at this level, like, especially with him just coming up to the end. Like, he needs to have time to develop and marinate in his juices a little bit. And, you know, just to kind of, like, add to your point, what happened when, dude, and we're going to circle back to the Jets, because they're the ones that made fun of the Sharks because of this. What happened after they choked that 3-0 lead? They stripped Thornton of his captaincy, and the first game, well, I think the first week of the season, they go up to Winnipeg and they start chanting, you know, who's your captain? It's like, the thing is that you can't, it can't be a, you know, after the game, oh, you know, you should have done better. You know, it's kind of like me studying for a test after I failed it. You know, it's like you said, you need to sit these guys down. You need to lay out the law. And I feel like right now this All-Star break is coming at the perfect time for the Kings. And it seems like, you know, to get back to what Colin said, you know, a lot of Kings fans haven't cared about, you know, the regular season for a long time because, again, with a lack of success, at least when it comes to the beginning of the season. Now, you know, harken back to 2012, 2014. This is pretty much the time of year where Kings fans are usually used to being at the edge of our seats. Sorry, I'm like freezing in my room right now. We're at the edge of our seats. You know, what's going to happen? What's management going to do? So I feel like this All-Star break's coming at a perfect time. It'll give Rob Blake, Todd McLellan, Kopitar, and all the people who they think are the problem. And I'm not calling Kopitar a problem. I'm just saying, because he's a leader, like Kopitar, Doughty, you know, all of them a chance to sit down with the people who they think are, you know, adding to the Kings' woes and say, listen, what do you guys need? Like, what can we do to mitigate this? What can we do to help, you know, further this team along? Because no one wants to see this team lose. No one on that roster wants to see the team lose. You know, I know, again, controversial figure, Pierre-Luc Dubois, you know, he doesn't want to see the Kings lose either. He said so himself. You know, it's just, they need to open up that bridge of communication. And I feel like a lot of the problems that management was kind of side skirting and avoiding for the most part in the beginning part of the season because of the inflated numbers and wins, now they're forced to look it dead in the eye and say, all right, there's the elephant in the room. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah. Brian, I appreciate you hopping on here, buddy. But I hope that those hash out meetings have happened already. If not, that they need to have, I don't think it needs to be a meeting with everybody or just like the single players that they think are the problem. It needs to be like put the block the door with the garbage cans type of thing. Like players, like everybody just hash it out amongst everybody because people need to start calling each other out. I think Doughty's kind of started it tonight. And I wonder if it happens probably either tomorrow at practice or the next game or whatever. But yeah, that's probably what needs to happen. But Brian, like always, appreciate you hopping on here, man. I hope you have a good one.
You too, Russ. Take care.
All right, guys. It's past midnight. I'm sitting here in my car in the parking garage. I can go on probably another hour or so with you guys because I'm sure we all need it. But I'm going to head home here. I think we're going to do a live show on our YouTube tomorrow with the Hockey Royalty guys with Brandon and Joe. So keep an eye out for that so we can continue this discussion because, damn, a team that we love. They're going through it. Don't see any light at the end of the tunnel once again, but this is what we're here. This is what we signed up for. So hopefully they can turn things around and be that team that we saw at the beginning of the part of the season. For now, I'm going to sign off. Good night, everybody.